We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is mother-daughter P-duo Vicky and Rachel.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F-word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
It is chocolate season.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if this episode is coming out before or after Chocolate Day, but chocolate is still in the
mini
house.
Mini eggs are the big deal in my house.
Well, actually, same.
Yeah, and they are very hard to find in the shop. So Miss 13, obsessed. Can you get mini eggs for my friends today?
Remember when there used to be huge packets
of them? Yeah, nah, I'm telling you, they're hard to find.
Well, I said to Buzz and Woody, what eggs do you want? Because I said, obviously, the Easter Bunny's bringing this, but, you know, and they're like, haha, yes. And they were like, oh, we just want the, like, little Mars ones, the little what's the egg, the
cream eggs.
Cream eggs. The little, I'm like, of course you want all the little ones.
Yes.
They're harder to find.
Yes.
I was expecting them to say the Kit Kat egg.
No. Well, the mini eggs, I'm on a hunt for them, so.
Well, that is it. Egg hunting, isn't it?
I've pretty much got them all and put them away.
Yes,
so
I've
hopefully
got a few put away.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway. It's an expensive time.
It is.
You have to pace it.
It is expensive.
When people are like, oh, they come out too early. I'm like, not really, because I can buy one each week.
Exactly, because they're like $10 each.
I know, just for such a rip-off.
I know.
But also, there's something about that sweet, sweet chocolate.
Oh, I love
thin. It. It tastes yummier.
Yep.
So,
Anyway,
sorry, we've bored everyone enough with chocolate chat.
So we have got our lovely mother-daughter duo here. Would you both like to say hello and introduce yourselves?
Oh, good afternoon. I'm Vicky and we live in Newcastle and we have a lot of special people in our lives.
Yes. And your daughter is?
I'm Rachel and I'm mum to Amelia,
and
she's also a peeling.
Yes. And tell our listeners, because this is not a visual medium nor will it ever be, what are you indulging in? Because the day we're recording is Wednesday. So to diehard lockdown viewers and listeners, you will know what we used to do on a Wednesday. What are you partaking in?
We are partaking in white wine Wednesday.
1 o'clock, we've got a photo of them both.
It'll be on the Insta. You can see White Wine Wednesday in the real flesh.
That's right.
Yes. So
this podcast is going to be fantastic.
We only have one bottle, so it should be good.
Just the one bottle.
Now, Amelia has been put to bed, but if she needs you, Rachel, it's fine. Just go and come and go. That's okay.
Yeah.
She will.
Yes, no problem. Yes. So, okay, let's start with our questions.
All right, so our question, and I will start with Rachel first. Do you have music or a song or a band that you love in good times or bad times?
I have a song.
Yep.
It's from a musical. It's called Waitress. Oh. It was written by Sarah Bareilles, but the song is Everything Changes.
Oh.
It's something I listened to a lot when we were trying to fall pregnant, when I fell pregnant, and the whole time it was, this is going to be the first song that I'd sing to her. I'm going to sit down at 2 a.m. when you can't put her to sleep and sing to her, and then 6 weeks in special care and NICU, and it just didn't happen until I got home. So the song still makes me cry. Aww. Listen to it when you're going to cry.
Very special.
Very special.
It's just one of those.
It's got beautiful lyrics to it.
We'll put that on the Spotify.
It'll be on the Spotify.
Yes.
Good song.
And what about you, Vicky? Just ignore that. I think you might be able to hear a dog barking in the background, but we're just going to have to.
Just mind me the treat.
So. Yes, I was like, maybe I should do that.
I've got a couple of songs, I'm sorry.
Don't apologise.
Yeah.
Bonfire Heart by James Blunt.
Oh, yeah. I know that song.
Yeah, that song was playing forever, which we will get into the story of my husband. Every time I was going to the hospital, it was always on the radio. So every time I hear that song, that's the time I think of. And Lanterns by Birds of Tokyo.
Oh, I love that song. Yes.
That was the last thing we did as a family, and we had a photo together before his stroke.
Ah.
Get into that story.
You went and saw them.
No, it was a song. What was it? No, it was Light the Night.
Oh, right.
Leukemia thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and they had a big thing in Newcastle, and we went to that, and he really didn't want to go. He did not want to be there. I'm so glad we went and we had that photo.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that song, I think of that.
That time, the before times.
And the other one that's really like is Day Drunk by Morgan Evans.
Really? That's today's song, sponsored by that.
The lyrics of that song make you stop and think and take time to smell the roses.
Yeah.
One day they're not going to be there.
Yes.
That's what I take away from that song.
True. Yeah. And look, I think once you're a little bit older, if you are going to get drunk, which is we're not saying that's a good idea, and it's very few and far between, it's much better to do it in the daytime because you can have some scrambled eggs, orange juice, and Nurofen, go to bed and sleep it off.
Perfect.
I can't be doing all-nighters.
Oh, no.
Who's doing the all-morningers? Oh. No, me. So, no, that ship has sailed.
Too old to do all-nighters.
Oh, 9:30, I'm out.
Because I'm waking up at 4 a.m. to stress about every single thing that could possibly go wrong.
So what about, Rachel, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, can I butt in here? Can I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Shorter. I was an award. I got this award when I was in
kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you've got it.
Got a photo.
For neat work.
Oh, and look what I did to it. I coloured it in. And that's me in
kindergarten. Wow. There's a photo of her in grade one with her award. That's pretty impressive. This award
because the neat work, and I've scribbled it and coloured it in, and
you
it
need
looks
to frame
horrendous.
That.
Yeah.
It has to be pretty.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer this. We can edit this out. But how old are you?
I am 56.
I was going to say, I feel like you're my age because the school uniform had the same sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
No, it's a Catholic primary school.
Oh, well, I had Seventh Adventist primary school, so we still had little modest uniforms.
Yes.
but I was like, I feel like those ponytails, those little pigtails. I'm like, I'm feeling this vibe here. Yeah. Yes.
And
but the still bobbles. Very impressive. Yeah, I love
those. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, but I remember really whacking my knuckles on them when I'd do up my hair and it'd flick off, but I pushed through.
Okay, awesome award.
Yes, awesome.
Rachel, you were an award winner.
I was.
I didn't think I was,
but then this morning she's brought over all these folders from school and we're going through them and every second page is some award.
Wow, so you didn't remember it really?
No, I remember high school. There were a couple of bigger ones in high school.
Yeah.
There was... nomination for an OAM.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. That's the head of the pack. Anyway, nomination for OAM.
Why?
Got a little, like a certificate of appreciation. So you didn't win the big award, but here's a little one.
Right.
Sort of thing. And then a long-term leadership award through the ADF.
Right.
I got that in high school as well.
Wow.
What was it? Primary school. There was an Aussie of the Month, which Mum is so proud of because none of the other kids got it. I'm one of five.
The only Aussie of the Month.
Wow. It's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Which number are you with the children?
I'm second.
Second. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the, all the others just had to go, well, we never got
no
all
Aussie
the
month for us. Mum's not coming to
you
assembly.
You know, Rachel, that's all I'm saying.
Nearly OAM, didn't quite make it.
Thankfully, we can just say Rachel, not Rachel OAM when I'm calling you.
Yeah, phew, phew.
You could add OAM to your initials.
I couldn't
have. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's the only other OAM that I really know is, not that I know her, is Lee Sales. I know she got an OAM, remember?
Yeah.
That's it. So it's you and Lee.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you take it.
And our favourite question, and you can answer in whichever order you want, why are you a P? You're part of the P community.
Right. Well, where do I start? I have five children.
Which is a great number. Yeah. I applaud that.
Oh, yeah. I think of that every time you say that. Yeah.
I think she's crazy, but.
Yeah. Oh, we are. That's fine.
My eldest daughter, Jess, she won't mind me saying, 34.
Yeah.
And then Rachel and Kira and Jared and Sophie. And of course Neil. Neil is part of the P community. He was originally a P, and then we were tossing up what to call him because he's now part of my colourful family. Yeah. So we're coming up with some names, but we won't go through that. So what do you call a husband that has a an issue?
Yeah, we haven't said that because that would be my husband too.
Yeah.
Overall legends.
Overall legends, yes. Okay. Well, I started calling him this week stir-fried pee because he's quite often saying his brain's fried.
Right, okay. Okay.
Neil had a massive stroke just over 10 years ago.
Right.
His mobility and everything now is quite good. Yeah. He can walk any language, but man, some brain injury things leave a lot to be desired sometimes.
Yeah, it's a huge life impact. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And he was a very active man to now being as active as he can be. And now it's all up to.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and you've already
difficult.
Been a mum of five children and you've already done that for so long and the kids must have just been getting to that sort of independent adult, I worry about them less and then
Baby was only five at the time.
Right. When he had this. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sophie's 15. Sophie's 15, yeah. So she'd just gone five when he had the stroke. She wasn't at school.
No, she was in preschool.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Sorry. Well, I take it back. You were in the thick of it.
Yeah. So when he first had the stroke, we had just sold our house and we had a month to be out.
Oh, no.
Of course.
When he woke up that morning and decided he wasn't going to work, he fell on the toilet floor.
Oh, no.
Rachel, who sleeps through anything, she woke up because she heard me on the phone to the ambulance, echoing up the hallway. And anyway, he spent 3 months, 4 months in hospital.
Right.
Rehab. They took part of his skull out for the swelling and all of that. In the meantime, I was still dealing with boxes around the house, trying to work out whether we were going to sell the house or not sell the house. In the end, I ended up getting out of the sale of the house and staying where we are.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because we're only 4 km from John Hunter Hospital.
Right.
It worked out really well. But then main reason for that, I think I did that, was we were going to build a house on a property. Now that if he's...
It was a mile away from the hospital.
He's disabled. We're not going to be able to build a house. Yeah. We're not going to be able to do any of that.
Live on a property too. Yeah. Mm,
yeah, we can't do that. And my son, Jared, he's high-functioning autism. So the best thing for him to do was to be at home in his own house.
Yes.
Everything's familiar. And then Kira has neurofibromatosis, which is tumours all throughout her body attached to nerves and everything. And she also has ADHD, learning disabilities,
right,
left, right and centre. So it was better for her to stay at home too. So
yeah,
to this day I'm still thankful that we got out of the sale of the house.
Yeah, thank goodness. Wow. Yeah.
And then Rachel became sister mum.
Yes, Rachel.
So I bet you did.
Rachel was, what, were you 18?
Yeah,
she was 18.
Were you in year 12 or had you finished?
No, so I was in my first year of uni. Right. So I was full-time at uni and then we had the stroke in the October. So uni was nearly done. So yes. I finished that and then went part-time the next year, changed my degree. Mm. But it was full-on. Like I was already a carer for my siblings. And then this stroke happened, so mum was at hospital all day, every day,
a lot.
And then rehab all day, every day, doing, learning how to help care for him at home.
Mm.
So I took the kids and took them to preschool and school eventually. And
they were really none the wiser. They were happy because they were still at home.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't normal for them, but we tried to keep it as normal.
It's amazing how quickly things can change, but how you can adapt.
Yeah, and I think for Sophie, she doesn't really remember a lot of that time because she was just at home with Rachel. Yeah. And Rachel loves cooking, so if ever she was in the kitchen cooking, so Sophie was Sophie.
Oh, so lucky to have you, Rachel.
Very. Yeah.
She was my saviour.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
In that time, and still is.
Yeah.
We wish to each other now.
Yes.
Well, Rachel, we should ask why Europe as well.
Well, I guess started as a young carer for my siblings and then my stepdad, Neil. And then I had my own little girl 2 years ago and she had stopped growing in utero. So I was induced at 37 weeks, but she was the size of a 32-weeker. And then for a good year, every other week there was something new, a new hospital visit, a new doctor. And she's a swan baby, so... Mm.
And you told us how many hospital admissions you had or ED visits. It was quite in the first year, wasn't it?
In her first year, we had 25 visits to ED for a new nasal tube because she is allergic to every tape adhesive. And so she started on an NG and then a couple of weeks after she was born, we figured out she was aspirating when she swallows and on her reflux. So she was no longer safe for gastric feeding. So we had to go to an NG, so into her intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you can't just go to the nurse and have it quickly put down. No. It needs to be done under fluoroscopy.
Mm.
And, of course, at our hospital, they only work one day a week for pediatrics.
Of course.
So we like to joke and say that we paid for all the radiologists' holidays
because you did.
They were called in every other day. got lots of overtime. But, yeah, she
sometimes twice in a day.
Yeah, right.
Once or twice. But just because she was allergic to tape, so she had reoccurring staph infections and eczema and
people don't understand.
Was just ruined.
I am allergic to tape. And people always, I mean, nowhere near have I had what your beautiful little pea shooter has had. But I will say to people, like at the moment I'm having this weird little procedure in my knee and I have to keep a plaster on for 4 days. And I'm like, I can't. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, this is especially, I'm like, no, it will turn into an infection and they will not believe me. Never, ever, ever have I been believed about the tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible and it's itchy and I just...
Oh, it turns into a sore and you're like, no, this is really... I mean, it's not a big deal in most of my life, right, because I don't have a nasogastric tube or anything like that, but every medical procedure, I'm like, I'm allergic to that.
It's horrendous.
So what do you do now?
For tape?
Yeah,
for tape. For tape. So she's got... she's actually got a gastrojejunostomy. So she's got it's like a peg, but it's got an extension line into her jej. So we no longer have to deal with tape.
Good. Great.
Which is fantastic. but we had every department fighting, the surgical department for us to have it done. Yes. It was intense because we were in ED.
Oh.
And every sickness she gets, we end up in hospital. hospital. Yeah. So sitting and then eating, waiting rooms. It's not fun. And we knew all the doctors by name. We knew all the radiologists by name. Yeah. And every time, by the end, every time we were there, they would call the surgeon. They would send emails to the pediatrician. This is not right. One of the radiologists walked out one day. We had a lot of trouble getting it in one day. And he walked out, slammed the door. I could hear him swearing on the other side, being like, this is torture. We are abusing this kid. This is not okay. So he ran to the surgeon and got very
good. You need
aggressive.
Yes. Because
it was so needed.
Yeah. So needed. And they're just going to go, this is a mum. Yeah. But if it's other medical professionals ripping them a new one.
Yes, very, very different. But no, we finally had that done in May of 2023. Oh,
yeah.
And it's been the best thing.
So when you say she's a swan baby, can you explain that to some of our listeners that might not know what that means?
Mm. So she, Amelia has a lot of different diagnoses. So she has laryngomalacia, which is like a narrowing of the airway and your vocal cords shut over. So she had surgery on that when she was a couple of days old.
Oh, wow.
She has microcephaly, so her head is quite small and not even on the charts, on the growth charts. She has eczema. She's got bilateral hearing loss. She's got kyphosis, so her back is curved. Mm. She's got all these diagnoses, but we don't have an overarching diagnosis for her. So she might call her Swan's syndrome without a name. Mm. So we've done 5 lots of genetic testing, which have all come back negative. Wow. So at the moment, we don't have any reason for why she is the way she is.
Mm.
Just lots of little symptoms.
Mm.
That's a lot, hey?
So this was a lot to deal with having a new little baby going through NICU and special care and then living in an amount of emergency. Like, do you think you've even processed all that?
Probably not.
Because you don't get a chance.
No, we really didn't. And I think in the first couple of months I hid a lot of what was actually going on because you don't want to put that burden on other people and you kind of feel like you should hold it to yourself, and that's what I did, except for Mum, she got the she had all you just kind of hold on to it. And then I look back at memories and stuff from 12 months ago and I have said, I don't know how we survived.
Yeah.
We were not living, we were surviving.
Yeah.
And, you know, with every new tube reinsertion, she was in pain, so she'd be on Panadol and Nurofen for the next 2 days after.
Yeah.
And then we might have 1 or 2 good days and then we'd be back to hospital. We had tried to plan outings with other parents. Her puberty would come out that morning.
Yes.
We were not survive. We were not living at all.
No.
That really stings when you see the other people getting on with their life with their baby and then they say, oh, they've got a bit of a cold. But anyway, we're going to the shops.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, that's not what it's like for us.
No.
We were at home all the time and then having to work with her feeds because with the jejunostomy, you can't be on bolus feeds, so she was on a pump for 20 hours a day. So we would only have 4 hours off. And in that 4 hours, you're trying to fit in therapy, a quick grocery shop.
Yes.
Harping,
all of it.
And it's all your choices are taken off you.
It didn't happen.
For a little bit until you work what the hell you're going to do with this and how you're going to make your life, you know. But, it's a lot.
It is. I think definitely processed a little bit more now, but there's still things that pop up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Like our recent trip to Melbourne.
It was great. We had a good Melbourne time. Melbourne was fabulous. Mm. She loved it. She's a looker. She loves to look and see things and just.
People watching.
She's a people watcher.
Yeah.
If she could talk, it would be interesting. If she's got my grandmother's genes, she would talk shit about everyone.
Did you come down to the Royal Children's or what were you coming down for?
No, so we actually come down for Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's the best reason to come.
Had a holiday. Yeah, which was, it was great. It was the best week. She had so much fun. We all did.
Yeah, there was 6 of us, 6 or 7, including Amelia.
Yeah.
Went.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
She had a bit of an issue on the plane ride back. She was fine on the plane down, and then on the plane back, she was tired.
Mm.
So I put her to sleep and her breathing had changed. And I went, oh, this is a bit weird. And I had her monitor with her, so I put that on her foot and she had dropped her sats. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll just try and wake her up.
Oh, gosh.
And I couldn't wake her up.
In the air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your heart must have been pounding.
Melbourne to Newcastle. I don't think I've ever panicked. And I'm not one to panic in a situation. I'm very deal with it, we process it, we get it to hospital, and then I will have my moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a metal tube in the sky.
Oh, no. That's panic.
No help. And we couldn't.
But the flight attendants were brilliant. They brought oxygen straight away.
Oh.
She was on that, and the sats come up. She started to wake up and quick trip up to hospital, and she was fine. But
the ambulance was sitting on the tarmac waiting.
Which is good. But
mom, Sophie, my 15-year-old, she was sitting next to Rachel, and as soon as we got home, she just cried and
cried.
It really, really scared her. Really scared her because she hadn't seen Amelia do anything like that.
No, Amelia likes to do some, we call them funny little things.
Yeah.
her little moments. She has her little moments, but she's never had anything like that. And to be on a plane
with
no help.
Yes. And you can't, what can you do? Nothing. You have to keep going.
No, you know? Just have to wait until you land and hope
that she gets better. And after you'd had such a great time, you know, it's always like the high highs and then the low lows. Yeah. I feel like my life is like that every day.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I've said to a friend the other day, I've had a really great morning.
Yeah.
Because who knows what's going to happen in the afternoon.
Yeah. You take me good when it comes.
Yeah, you know, but people don't realise you're living like that. It's very.
It's a lot of adrenaline or cortisol.
Yes, it is.
It's hard. And we, you know, we were talking about it earlier. We're still very much in the thick of therapy, the new diagnosis, and because she is so little, and I wish I had someone to listen to 12 months ago going through the same sort of thing. But we are very much in the thick of every day is therapy, how, you know, how much can we fit in today sort of thing. That's just...
Yes, Mum, are you working today? If you're not working today, can you come up today?
Okay. Yeah. How far away do you live from each other?
Oh, it's about 25 minutes.
Okay, that's good.
So it's not far. No. I was working permanent 2 days last year, and it just got to the stage with Rachel and Amelia in particular, and even some my children at home were not coping with me just working those 2 days because it was always an appointment.
Yes.
There was always an appointment.
That is the truth. You know,
and why am I, because I'm a childcare worker, why am I at work looking after other people's children when I have my own?
Yeah. Well, because for money.
Nice, and it's nice to have a break.
Have your own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to have a break and get out.
But childcare is not that either.
No, it's not. It's full on job.
I definitely worked in it, and it's not necessary. It's not a break. It's hard work.
It is hard work. Yeah, it's hard when you can't switch your brain off either and think they weren't having a good morning. How are they going now?
Yes.
Haven't heard from Neil. Has he fallen over?
Yeah. He falls over. Or is Sophie sick at school and they can't contact me?
I know. Yes. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
I just think not having access to a phone when you've been, my job I don't, and I'm like, this is it. I find it really, really, really hard. Very anxious. Yeah.
What about, can you tell us what it's like, Vicky, being a grandma and worrying about Rachel, worrying about Amelia? Because my mum always talks about that.
Amelia is grandchild number 3.
Yep.
Yep.
So I also have Isla, who's 12, and Jensen, who is almost 4.
Oh.
Mr. Parrot talk a lot.
Yeah.
He is. So Jess, my eldest daughter, she's a single mum of the 2 kids.
Yeah.
So I look after them some nights when she's working. She's got her own dance studio. So I look after them, pick them up from daycare, pick them up from school, wherever.
You got a lot.
And then Amelia.
Yeah.
I help Rachel where I can.
Yeah.
And if she needs help, she knows she just has to say. But Rachel's not one of those people that says, hey, I need help.
It's hard.
I will drown until I
shoot
around the porch, and then I go, okay,
We need to do something today.
Yeah.
You've got to try and read between the lines where most of my other children go, Mum, I need help right now.
Well, she's used to holding it together. She did it when Neil had the accident too, didn't she? Yeah.
Did absolutely. Did it with Neil, because if I didn't, no one else would do all the things with the kids. They went looking after the kids.
Yeah.
And my aunts had moved out of home by then too. Yes. So we weren't home. And she had Isla, so.
She also had Isla. Isla was only two at the time. So,
so it was on, just kind of always been like that.
It is hard as a grandmother, but then you know that she's got it. She's got it. She knows what she's doing. She knows everything. But just sometimes you just have to be there. Like this morning I bought coffee and croissants.
Oh yeah, that's
perfect.
Yeah. And the wine. And the wine. I mean, that's the three food groups right there. I don't need anything else.
Three food groups.
I've seen the pyramid. That's it.
Yeah, it's a good material for me.
It's wine.
It's fruit.
Wine's fruit. Maybe pasta. Nuggets, sort of.
Yeah, so you knew I've got to do a little pick-me-up this morning.
Oh, well, we needed to be ready for today.
Yeah, so. You did.
Yeah.
Oh, and so moving forward, Rachel, what are you still, are they still testing or are they going, let's just give this a break for a bit and?
Yeah, not at the moment. We've done, at birth she had a microarray, so just a blood test, and that ruled out everything. And then she, a couple of months old, had a full exome, so they still had her blood. They took mine and my husband's and had a look. There was nothing there. And then she had surgery last year, so they've done a blood metabolic panel and then a cheek swab microarray, which can check for mosaic or some depletions that don't necessarily pick up on blood testing.
Right.
So we've done all those and they've come back with nothing. We've done endocrine testing as well.
Oh, you've done it all. Yeah.
Yeah, which has come back with nothing either. Yeah. She's had an MRI, which we thought there might have been an endocrine problem, but that's obviously been ruled out. But I just spoke to the geneticist recently and the plan is just to wait. If we want to have a second kid, we'll go back and see them and they'll revisit testing. But you know, the way it was explained to me is, you know, there's 20,000 letters, I guess, you know, the rungs of the ladder of the DNA, each rung is a different letter. There's 20,000 letters. So, and we only know what 5,000 of them do.
Yeah.
Right.
So the chance you actually get a diagnosis from genetic testing is
miraculous.
First place, you know, they're always saying, you know, we find some more every year. They might find, it's, I think it's average like 2 to 4 or 3 to 5 or something, but it's under that 5. They only find 5 new diagnoses a year, which is still massive. But in
about
15,000, it's not.
Yeah.
So you've kind of been told there may be a genetic cause. They may not. We don't know. We might get an answer in 5 years. We might get one in 20. We may never get one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes. How do you handle that?
You have your kid and, you know, all of a sudden there's issues and you're thinking, oh, no, it's fine. They'll find an answer. We'll have
a gang of people that have and the same thing and we'll hang out with them.
Yeah, yeah, and we can tell people it's this.
This, you know, and I think my biggest thing was I needed an answer for a trajectory and what the future would look like.
Yes, yes.
Because that's hard to not know what,
yes,
she's going to be like at 10 or...
Very hard.
You know, the scary... We're talking about it. The scary thing with swan babies is any regressions.
Yes.
Because you don't have an answer. So regressions is my biggest fear. And any time she stops rolling over, she stops doing something, I'm like, oh, is this the start?
Yes.
Because you just... I think everyone's scared of their kid passing away.
Yes.
This kid dying. Like, it's a genuine fear, but for swan kids, you just don't know, like that feels a little bit closer to home. So
like with all of my kids and all their diagnoses, we have a diagnosis. Know what's going to happen with Amelia, we just don't know.
No, and not life threatening.
Yeah. No, and anything, you know, even if we were to have an answer in the next 5 years, it probably wouldn't give us much anyway because it's so new that they wouldn't know about it.
Yes.
But the treatment is the same, her physio.
Yes.
Nothing, yeah, nothing's going to change what we're doing right now.
You've been able to get the NDIS?
Yeah, yeah, she's been on that for 12 months. We just had a review, which was interesting. Stressful.
Yes, very stressful.
But amazing at the same time.
We did. We got a really, really good plan. The review itself was intense and lots of feelings, and I think I walked out of that crying.
Yeah, I definitely did. Yeah.
It's just it's such a struggle seeing her physio and her OT being like, she needs all of this equipment, and then you go to this appointment and they go, actually, no, you don't. You can just lie her in the bath.
Yeah, and you're like,
no. Like, you've known my kid for 2 seconds.
Yes.
We've been working with these guys for months, and, like, we have a really, really good team, but we managed to get everything that she needs.
Terrific.
Hard fought, but.
It's off your shoulders.
Yes. What about Neil? Does he qualify for the NDIS?
He's actually been on it basically since
the
it started.
Time. Yeah,
it
terrific. Started.
Newcastle was in the pilot program.
Ah, yes.
So I've got Rachel. I'm not Rachel. You're Rachel. Neil.
Yes.
Neil, Kira and Jared are all on the NDIS.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, it's still not easy, but we were very lucky in the beginning because we had our whole bathroom and laundry renovated.
Terrific.
To have the bathroom set up for him to be independent, which he is now.
Yes.
And he has an electric wheelchair and using sometimes, and we've just recently got a hoist put into the back of our new car.
Awesome.
So we can take that around, which is good.
Yeah.
Kira's not so much. She basically only really uses hers for counselling sessions.
Right. Yep. Which is huge.
And
Which is important. Which is important.
It's hundreds of dollars.
It's priced. Yeah. Most people are priced out of it.
That's right.
Yep.
A lot of people would look at her and think that she doesn't really need it. Why is she on it? But she does have an intellectual disability.
Yes. Yeah.
She can drive, she is driving, she is working full time, but there's those little things that's why she needs. She masks incredibly well. She it works pretty good. Like, even at school, I remember as a kid, you'd see her around at school and you're like, she's with her friends, she's doing well, she's okay. And then you'd get home and it would just be safe space, safe people.
Mm-hmm.
Jared has a support worker once a week and some counseling as well, which is every few months.
What about with Neil? Does he have people coming in helping at all?
Yes, he's got two amazing support workers that he has support 4 times a week. He has a recumbent bike, bike that you get in. Yep, he has one of those, so he goes for a ride twice a week.
Fantastic.
And then his other support worker comes and they do whatever around the house needs doing.
Ah.
Neil's got a Gemini, an old Gemini, 1976, orange Gemini.
This is a car for people who love me the Geminis.
I love them. My friend had one and I wanted one, mint green one.
I had a Corolla. Daggy.
I had a Corolla too.
Wanted that Gemini.
It's a bright orange one, so Neil and his support worker will quite often take that out, take it for a spin.
Oh, that's ace.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's always been very hands-on, builds everything himself, so he still does that with his support workers.
Terrific.
We have the most massive shed in our backyard. It's a 2-story shed full of machines and shit. I don't know what is in there sometimes. But he loves
man
it.
Cave. What about with Amelia? Do you have any support workers coming in? Because I know she's only 2, isn't she? So what does it look like? Or is it mostly just physio, OT, speech, or grandma. Yeah.
Mum's a support worker. Because I work one night shift a week.
Do you get paid $65 an hour on a Sunday? That's what I always think when I'm doing everything on a Sunday.
Oh, my God.
My daughter, and I think no one's paying me that big bucks on a Sunday.
No super contributions.
No, nothing.
She doesn't get support work because she is still, she's under 2. So yes. I know it's hard to get it.
Yes.
Under two.
Yeah.
But mum comes up one day a week. Yeah. And helps.
Awesome.
So I can sleep and then go to night shift. Yeah.
And more. Plus, yeah. Good week.
But no, her plan is physio, OT, yep. speech.
Yeah, and that'll change as she gets older.
And then dietitian. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all good. Of the feeding equipment, all of her equipment.
Yeah, good. Yeah. She needs it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because feeding supplies are not cheap.
How do you deal with people coming in and out of the house, Vicky? Because I know that was a big thing for me to adjust to.
Yeah, sometimes it can be difficult. Yeah. Like yesterday morning, I said to my 15-year-old, can you please pick up your clothes yep. off the floor?
Yes.
I know there is a support worker coming yes. in. Didn't happen.
No, because they're still 15.
I wasn't happy. But yeah. anyway, I'll take the good with the bad.
Yeah. 15, it's a notorious age, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she's such a good kid. She's a beautiful girl. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone she's else very is. Much like Rachel. Aww. She's been through her own health issues. Mm. 5 years ago, she was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Mm,
goodness. So
she was very sick for a while. God. She now goes to the hospital once every 8 weeks for infusions.
Right.
Keep on top of that. She has now also been diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome.
Right.
Which I think she's taking after big sister.
After me.
also got that.
Which those genetics, you know. Yeah. They're just.
They're strong in this family.
They're strong, yes.
That's right. We blame the father.
Yeah, of course.
four of my children, the older four are to my first husband right. and Sophie is to my second husband, yeah. but that's regardless.
It's we all blame. The dads.
Yeah.
All
it's always the dads. I mean, there's no common denominator, so it has to be.
Oh, gosh.
But Sophie with Amelia, she's really funny. She knows I've been to an appointment with Rachel. She goes, is there a diagnosis yet? Why haven't they got one? Why can't someone just pull their finger out of their and find an answer?
Yeah. Oh, you need a 15-year-old girl in that hospital.
Oh, yeah, she'll
work it out.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yes.
She's got a very old head on young children.
Yeah, she's girl. Lived That's a lot. Happens. She's mm-hmm. seen a lot.
Yeah.
And you tried to keep her as a kid.
Yes. Kind of impossible.
It's just her personality. Like they'd go on a train and she'd be like, how's dad going to get onto the train? Yeah. What about the gap? What are you going to do? Even now if mum goes away for a night or something with friends, she panics at home. What if he does this?
Yeah.
She's always been like that. Yeah. And there's always plans in place about how to manage things, but she's so, she's just on it and she is a bit of a worrywart.
Yeah.
Her and Kira clash heads sometimes because Sophie's an extremely mature, intelligent 15-year-old. Kira is 26, so she feels like she should be the dominant one and you should do what I say. Oh,
family dynamics.
Yes, we have a similar thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
No. Sophie's very proficient with cooking and not so much with the cleaning.
No,
as well.
Cleaning's boring.
Yeah, it is boring.
Come on, nobody. I won't say nobody likes it.
A lot of people. My mum likes it. We had an argument about it yesterday.
Yes, okay.
She said, "I won't say anything, Mandy." Which means she wanted
I've
to say
thought
a lot.
It all, but I'm not saying it. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, not saying anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, and nothing cracks you open more than living in a diverse family.
Oh, when that we have.
Yeah, you do.
Rachel and I went to the Source Kids Expo in Sydney last weekend.
Yeah. Oh, how was it?
It was great.
Did you see Melanie?
Really
love it.
Melanie Dimmitt?
Did you see Melanie Dimmitt?
Yeah. She's so good.
She's so good. She's the tubby.
We
walked up to Napa and we were talking and I noticed the blend book and I was like, I've got the first two. So she was like, here you go. And she's like, Mel's with you somewhere. And then we walked past and we had a chat and she,
Rachel was starstruck.
Oh, she is. She has something about her, right?
She's gorgeous.
She's incredible. And I think, you know, one of the things we were looking at with Amelia when she was maybe 6 months was cerebral palsy.
Yes.
So we were looking and I'm very much I need to research, I need to look at all the things, I need to hear from other people's experience. So I went searching and I found the book and I was I'll have a look. So I went and bought it and I've listened to it and
just
so Melanie's book is called Special. And we had Melanie on at the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
And she's just...
Yeah, 2019 she released that book. Yeah.
She has a little podcast.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say little. A very good podcast. Yeah. She does Tubi. Yeah. It's Tubi Talks, journalist. Isn't it? She's a journalist.
Yeah. Tubi Talks, yeah. She's just started that one.
Stunningly beautiful. Not that that matters, right? But she's...
Amelia, you wake up. You
wake up in your little grow bag.
Oh, my God. Yes, girl.
Babies in grow bags.
I know.
She's like, excuse me, this is not normally what happens when I wake up.
Hello. Everyone, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. She got a little twinge of red hair.
Yeah, does she have red hair?
It's the light. Brown. In some lights it looks red, but it's... I think it's more of a brownie.
It's a beautiful colour.
I can tell she's a people watcher. She's looking at us like, you are.
She loves sauce kids. Yeah. She loves sauce kids. Yeah. Looking at everybody.
I know when I first went to Sauce Kids in Melbourne many years ago, I just saw families just finally feeling like they belonged at a place.
Yes.
Is that how you felt?
Yeah. We went last year without her, and then we went this year with her. And we're walking around and I was talking to someone about it at one of the stalls. And I, you know, if I'm out in public and I see someone with a specialized stroller, I find myself staring at it because I'm like, that is just so impressive. Like, not from a nasty place. No, I just think
you want to know.
Incredible. Like, what?
Where'd you get that from?
Because I never remember seeing that as a kid.
No.
And then I, you know, sometimes people, especially if I don't have her with me in her stroller, you'll find people look at you being like, what are you?
I know. Yeah. Don't look at me.
Stop staring at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas in Souls Kids, you're looking around and I'm looking at strollers and people with their AC devices.
I know.
Like,
this is
incredible. Like, it's so many ideas.
Yeah. She was sharing of information.
It was so needed.
At the same time, there was a baby expo on up a couple of halls.
Right.
Right. You people should come down here and see what the real world is like.
I would have been out the front going, well, how's it going up there in the baby expo?
Get down here and see what it's really like.
That's quite a clash, may I say.
Yes, Amelia, we're being naughty. Yeah, you know your
She's
name.
Turning around to you, like,
you're gorgeous.
I can talk to them too.
I'm glad it exists for you in this time because when my girls were little, I would have loved to have gone to a place like that. So I'm so thrilled you have these
powerhouse women.
Come away with so many ideas.
Emma. Yeah, yeah, Emma.
Oh.
Too many ideas.
Yeah.
Things to do. You're right. Yeah.
No. You know, I realized I was there on 2 days. I had my own stall, and families came back both days and stayed for hours because it was a place they belonged.
Yeah.
Really important.
100% was, yeah, exactly. Which is why we've had it booked in for ages to go. Oh, yeah, the
something
dates are released
really
for that we're going.
To. Taylor Swift, Sauce Kids. You're like, well, I don't know.
Well, Pink was actually on in Sydney Saturday night, but we were trying to figure out how to stay and go to Pink too, but we couldn't quite work it out. Next time.
We could talk to you two forever.
You're awesome.
You're fabulous peas.
Yes.
Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell this world, apart from how much you love this beautiful girl, Amelia?
Rachel, you have anything?
So nice to see a little baby on
I
the
know.
Zoom.
I'm used to it with my sleep work.
I'm very distracted now.
Yeah,
I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think we've I just had written down here because I had to write it down when I think of things because I'm old, I forget.
Yes, I'm with you.
It's human nature, but you need to be kind to yourselves. If you need help, a coffee, a vanilla slice, or even fairy bread or wine.
Yeah.
Ask someone that understands and is in your tribe because you are not alone at the end of the day.
Yes,
you can find someone.
Thank you,
Vicky. You need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, and all of us feel alone or need help sometimes. We all feel alone or need help sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's, I think when you reach out, maybe other people can reach out to you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
correct.
You're
gorgeous. The only other thing I would say is
baby noises.
If you
have a baby and you have friends who have babies at the same time and their baby happens to be in NICU, special care, have issues, is delayed, don't stop sharing your kid's progress.
Because there's nothing
worse than having friends with babies at the same age who are meeting all their milestones, who are crawling and talking and saying all these words, and they are too scared to share.
Don't cut me out.
Yeah.
Yes. There are. Hi. Yeah, I'm talking about you.
And you know what? I don't know if this is true for you, but you can choose to pop in and out, right? You can be like, you know what? I'm not going on social media today. Today was tricky for me, or I'm not going to that birthday party, but I want to be invited. I think you can really choose to pop in and out.
Yes. And, I've had that conversation with a couple of friends that I celebrate your milestones. You know, they seem small in your world, but they are big, and you celebrate her and all the things she's doing. She rolled over for the first time just before she was 18 months. And it was, and it was such a big thing. And I want other people to celebrate that too as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Good advice.
If I'm not ready, if I can't deal with things, I will tell you. Like,
that's
good. Don't stop sharing.
Rachel. Yeah. Wise.
What an incredible mother-daughter combo.
Yeah.
We've had the good combo today.
Yeah. Oh, well done.
I've so enjoyed talking to you.
Same. You're doing an awesome job. Amelia is lucky to have you both.
Yeah. And we see you.
And all the other
kids. You're awesome, awesome women.
Yeah, you are awesome women. Powerhouse.
Yep.
Yeah, and we know you probably get very tired, but keep on keeping on.
Well, that's called respite tomorrow for me. I'm out for 2 days with my who I call my stroke wife. What are you looking at? I'm going away for a couple of days with my stroke wife. Her husband had a stroke around the same time as my husband, and they were in rehab together.
Right.
So we're out, man.
Oh, how lovely to have her.
The bag is packed and at the door.
Yeah, she's ready to go.
The bag is packed.
Amelia, have you heard that? No, Nana.
No, Nana, Amelia.
She's out.
No, Nana.
You get on the white wine Thursday, Friday.
Oh, the cocktails.
Cocktail Friday.
Cocktail Friday. She's ready.
Well, thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you.